Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim with Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now beginning our study of Masechet Me'ilah as we head towards the end of Seder Kodashim. And Me'ilah, which is a topic we've touched on many times, especially here in Seder Kodashim, is now going to be our full focus. Just a couple of introductory remarks about Me'ilah. As you can see from the handout, all of Me'ilah is encapsulated in three psukim in Vayikra Perakeh, which give us some information about the liability for Me'ilah, but not too much information about what constitutes Me'ilah, and that will be our focus in this parak and further down. Writ large, Me'ilah is theft or misuse of that which belongs to Hashem, and that we are using for ourselves. Me'ilah applies both to Kodshei Berech HaBayit, otherwise known as Kedushat Damim, things which have value, Hekdesh, and Kedushat Mizbeach, those which have physical, imminent Hekdesh that are going to go on the Mizbeach. However, when it comes to Kodshei Mizbeach, there is an interesting split. Kodshei Kodashim, from the minute that they are designated as such, belong to God. And as such, Me'ilah attaches immediately. Me'ilah is lifted off of Kodshei Kodashim after Zrika, at which point Chatat and Hasham, at least, in the case of those two, become permitted to the Kohanim to be eaten, and therefore Me'ilah is lifted. However, with Kodashim Kalim, the situation is the inverse. There is no Me'ilah that attaches to Kodashim Kalim from point of designation until Zrika, and then the Emurim, those that go on the Mizbeach, have Me'ilah attached. As such, a litmus test for a fully successful Zrikah would be, did it lift Me'ilah off of Kodshei Kodashim, and did the Zrikah attach Me'ilah to Kodashim Kalim? And with that, we'll begin. Kodshei Kodashim Sheshchatan B'darom. Remember that Kodshei Kodashim have to be slaughtered in the Tzafon, and if they are slaughtered anywhere but the Tzafon of the Mizbeach, they are Pasul. Mo'alim Bayan, which means Me'ilah still attaches, and this Shchita will never have Me'ilah lifted from it. Shchita Midom, Kibal Domam Tzafon. So if you did Shchita in the south, but somehow did Kabbalah in the north, or Tzafon Kibal Domam Midom with a flip, and we'll have to see why all of these cases have to be mentioned. Shachat Bayom Mazak Balayla, Balayla Mazak Bayom. So if you did either the Zrika or the Shchita at night, or the shechita was done with intent of pigul or psul chutz l'mkomo, mo'alin bahen, Me'ilah is not lifted. So klal amar b'shua, he gave a general rule, kol shayala shat heter l'kohanim ein mo'alin ba. If this korban ever had a moment that it was mutar l'kohanim, then Me'ilah never returns. And if not, then Me'ilah remains. And now he gives an example. What is an example of that? Shalana, which means that it was properly slaughtered, and there was a zrika, and for right now we'll assume lina means the basar, and the meat was left overnight, and lapsed. Vishinitma, or became tamei after zrika, or shiyotza, the meat went out after zrika, which means there was a moment at which there was hetzel kohanim, even though now it's no longer mutar, and Me'ilah was lifted. Vezi shiloh ayala shat hetzel kohanim, what's that? Shenishchata chutz zmanah, chutz l'mkomah. So at the point of shchita, there was improper intent, and that means that it never is going to be acceptable. Veshikiblu psulin v'zarku etama, or if somebody invalid, like a czar, did Kabbalat Hadam or Zrikat Hadam, and we'll see why we have to mention both of them. Okay, Tani. So the first attack of the Gemara is that it is quite obvious that if you did Shchitat Kodshei Kodashim in the south, that Me'ilah still applies. Do you think that a Shchita on the wrong side is going to lift Me'ilah? The answer is Itztarich, for something which serves the opposite pole. And this is a statement of Rabbi Yochanan we're going to keep coming back to. Kodashim Shemetu, if you have an animal that's hektish and drop dead, got hit by a bus, Yotsu mide Me'ilah Dvar Torah, mid oraita Me'ilah is gone. So we would think, that if you shecht kodshe kodshim in the south, that's like you strangled them, meaning it's like they dropped dead, and therefore Me'ilah is gone. Kamash Milan, the difference. If they drop dead, they're not fit for anything. But the south is not fit for kochim kochim, the south is a fit place to do shchita on kochim kalim. Okay, that explains why we have to mention it at all. Now, lama mimit nikol lahani, why do I need to list all of the things listed in that first part of the Mishnah? The answer is tzrichi. I'll demonstrate the need for all of them. Let's start with this. If I mentioned that the Shechita was in the south, but the Kabbalah was in the north, I would say, yeah, that's a strong enough act that Meir would still apply. Shouldn't the Kabbalah be Tzafon? Because the Kabbalah, which is a more critical and more sensitive Avodah, because after all, the Tzar can't do Kabbalah, that was Tzafon. Aval Shechatam Tzafon Kibel B'Darom Darom, but if you did Kabbalah in the south, Ho'il V'Kibel B'Darom Hu, nothing Mide Me'ila. It might be so unworthy that it'd be like an animal that dropped dead in the case we just saw, the ruling of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore I would think that Nehila doesn't apply at all. The Itana high, and if on the other hand we have the case of Kabbalah Darom, Havena, I would have said, Yimama, and sorry, then go to the next piece, Havayamina, Yimama is Manakovahu. But if I did Shechita during the day, I would say, okay, at least Shechita was during the day. If I did Shechita at night, even though I did Zrika during the day, which means you did Shechita at a time which is not at all fit for any Hakrava. And therefore, I had a Shechita Balayla, I'm going to do nothing Midei Me'ila. It might not have Me'ila because it might be like that animal that dropped dead. It should be really Zarek Bayom, Ipa Me'ila. So if I only had Shachta Balayla, I would say, since you did Zrika during the day, so Me'ila applies. But if I had the opposite, where Zrika was at night, and again, so now we say, in every one of these cases, I would have had reason to think that the case presented is more similar to proper Avodah, enough that it's not like an animal that dropped dead, but the other case would be closer to Ula's example, and therefore I need to teach that in all cases Me'ila still attaches. Now, so what is the validity of a Zrika that's Chutzizman or Chutzimkomo, or Shechita? The answer is whole and lots in the Pigulan. Because then when you do Zrika, you have generated a proper Pigul. And so therefore it now has a din of Pigul, which it didn't have before its Zrika. So the Zrika of a Pigul also has meaning. Something we're going to get into a little bit later on in this parak. Ibayalu. Now the question is asked, Ialu Maushi Yerdu. And this question is being asked about all of the psulin in our Mishnah, Shachta Badom, Kibalam Dom Badom, Bayom Balayla, etc. What happens if, after this improper Shechita or Kabbalah or Zrika, another Kohen inadvertently put the Emurim up on the Mizbeach? Do they come down or not? And this is something that we engaged in the middle of Mizvachim at great length. Rabba Amar Imalu Yerdu, they do come down, or Yosef Amar Imalu Lo Yerdu. So it's a battle in Pumbadita, whether or not they come down. Ali ben Rabbi Yehuda Lo Tibayelach. So a little bit of background. Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon have a disagreement about Chatat and Ola, which of course the Chatat, the Dam of the Chatat goes on top, and the Dam of the Ola goes beneath the Chutasikra, the line around the middle of Mizbeach, and in the birds, it's the opposite of that. And what happens if you did an avodah lamala of, it's supposed to be lamata, or vice versa? Rabbi Yehuda says, imalu yerdu, you take them down. Rabbi Shimon says that they stay up. Now, alibi Rabbi Yehuda lo tibayilach, certainly Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef agree that according to Rabbi Yehuda, chayal pligid imalu yerdu, they certainly go down, because clearly for Rabbi Yehuda, geographic dispositioning is enough to make the animal, the emurim have to come down. So the mala lamata have to come down, certainly darom versus tzafon. Ki pligid alibi Rabbi Shimon, their disagreement is based on within Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rav Yosef, Rav Shimon. Rav Yosef takes the simple Rav Shimon position, which is, I don't care if it was done in geographically improper place, it stays up. Rama Marlach, and Rama's answer would be, Ad Kama Kama Shimon Elevin, Tan Lamata, Shantan Lamala, Natan Lamala, Shantan Lamata. Rav Shimon's only heter or liberal position was when you did the dam below, that should have been done above, or vice versa. As long as the shechita and the kabbalah was done in the north, but here, if you did shechita in the south, it's like you choked the animal. It's like you stabbed the animal. It's nothing. That's what Rabbah would say, and he would distinguish therefore between the error of up down as opposed to the error of south north. Now, Tanan, let's test this. So our Mishnah starts out with saying that Me'ilah still applies, meaning you haven't really wrecked the animal by doing the Shechita B'Darom. The Me'ilah will never be lifted because the Shechita was in the wrong place. So Mishnah of Yosef Nechal Rabakasha, that certainly supports Rav Yosef, it certainly counters Rabbah. So my Mo'alin Bahen, what's Rabbah's answer? Is that Mo'alin Bahen in our Mishnah is Midi Rabbanan. So it's a whole different light on our Mishnah. Now, we're familiar with two extreme levels of Me'ilah. One is full-on Me'ilah d'oraita. You bring a korban, you have to pay chomesh, plus the keren. And we're also familiar with no nanin v'lo mo'alin. We've seen that many times. Certain things, and we're going to see an example a little later on, where l'chatchila, you're not allowed to get hanah, but b'diavad, there's no Me'ilah. But now we're introduced to a middle category called Me'ilah d'rabbanan, which has consequences. Midrabbanan. So, ma'ika ben d'oraita l'rabbanan. So, what's the difference between Me'ilah d'oraita and Me'ilah d'rabbanan? The answer is d'oraita m'shalmin chomesh d'rabbanan lo. The answer is whether you have to pay the extra chomesh. As Rashi points out, and you certainly aren't going to bring a korban Hashem Me'ilot from Me'ilah d'rabbanan, because that would be chulin lazara. Okay. U'mi'ika Me'ilah d'rabbanan. So, since when is there such an institution as Me'ilah midrabbanan? The answer is in. A statement we just saw, but look at the last two words, Dvar Torah. And often, but not always, that implies that it doesn't exist midoraita, but it does exist midorabanan. So therefore, possibility at least, that there is mi'ilah midorabanan, in this case of Kochim Shemetu, which even though there's no Me'ilah d'oraita, you're not allowed to get Hana'ah, and if you do, you do have to pay for that benefit without the extra chomesh, without the korban. So Achanami Midrabanan, so our Mishnah would be the same thing. Of course, that's going to turn us into a different kind of problem, which is that if our Mishnah, according to Rabbah, is teaching that there's Me'ilah Midrabanan with an animal that was improperly killed, then think about it, Ula's statement is not adding anything. Because well, the statement typically was, if an animal dies without proper shechita, a kodshim that died without proper shechita still have me'ilah midrabanan. So leima tanina lahad ulam Rabbi Yochanan. And this, by the way, is a challenge. This is saying, so perhaps you could argue that Ula's statement, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, really is already in the Mishnah, which makes Ula superfluous. The answer is no. Afagav de tanina, even though we have our Mishnah, it's darich to Ula. We still need Ula's statement. Why? Because I would think, in the case of our Mishnah, we have an animal that was properly brought to the Mikdash, it's a hektish, it was properly shechted, it was just shechted on the wrong side. And because it was shechted on the wrong side, people are not going to avoid it. There's not that kind of natural revulsion to it. But if an animal drops dead on its own, since people stay away, therefore there's no need to add Me'ilah d'rabbanan. Therefore, I would think that there is no Me'ilah d'rabbanan because there's no need for it. So Kamash Malan, therefore Ula comes and teaches that even in that case there is Me'ilah d'rabbanan, and that's what he's adding on beyond our Mishnah. But Meitu Nami Tanina, guess what? We also have a braita that teaches us about hanah from a mate, from an animal that dropped dead, not just one that was shechted on the wrong side. And that's the following. Hanana min achatat. If you get hanah from a chatat, kshehi chaya lomal ad shifkom. So as Rashi points out, this has to be a chatat that's a balmum, so it's kedusha damim, and therefore me'ilah doesn't attach until you actually made something deficient in it, until you used a part of it that was now missing. Ushihimeta, but if it's already died, then keva dinah kol nanokoshu mal. Once it's dead, then we can no longer go to the value aspect, then it sort of has a kedusha d'guf of some sort, and therefore there's hanah the minute you get any sort of, there's a me'ilah the minute you get any sort of hanah, and of course this me'ilah has to be d'rabbanan, and so therefore we think that that Ula's statement now has been totally covered by Tanaitic literature. So the answer is, this is why Ula had to teach it. Because since a chatat was brought for kapara, Therefore, lo b'dolimina. People still won't stay away from it. And of course, the idea behind Me'ila Drabanan is always, if people are going to avoid the animal anyways, there's no need to make Me'ila Drabanan.
So therefore, Ula's statement, which talks about regular Kodshim dying, since they're not coming for Kapara and they died, people will avoid them, and therefore there's no need to engage Me'ila Drabanan to Kamash Malan, that even there it exists. So we see that Ula's statement is necessary. But since when is there Me'ila in a Chatat Shemeta? Vatnan, back in Tzmur, we have the Mishnah, Chatot Meitot V'malot HaLachot L'Yam HaMelach. So we have the famous Chayv Chatot Meitot, and we have the parallel, which is money set aside for Chatot like that, which the money, if the Chatat is Shin Kapur Baleha, etc., the money goes to L'Yam HaMelach, Lo Nehanin V'lo Mo'alin. There's no Me'ila. So Amri Chatot HaMeitot B'Chayehen B'Dilim Minhon HaFukeichen L'Chayim Lo B'Dilim Minei. Here the language is a little bit tricky because of the word Chay. What we mean is, b'chatal tametot, those famous chatal tametot, when they're alive, people avoid them already because they're not going to be used at all. As opposed to michayim, meaning a regular chatat, while alive, lo b'dilim mina, because people are engaged in using it for kapar, and therefore they're not going to avoid it, and therefore even if it dies, then there is still mi'ila that we need to make, midrabanan. As opposed to chatal tametot, we said, there is no, lo nanin, which is of course l'chatchila, but lo mo'alin, even midrabanan. Okay, Eitim Rav Yosef the Rabba, Chana Migo Chada, V'chada, either Migo Chada, Migo Trey, the Rav Yosef asked sort of a complex or a compound question to prove his point, Him Alu Lo Yerdu. First of all, Mishnah, Chulan Emetam Migarim Beitabliya Umoin Bahen. This is talking about a oath which was done incorrectly. Even if it was done incorrectly, for instance, an olah was done below or a chatat was done above, etc. Nonetheless, it's not considered a nevelah, such that if you eat it, there would be tumat gadim, abeta blia. That would be the case, we would think, because it was malika and not shchita. But nonetheless, it's not. Umoalin bahen, and me'ila still applies because, of course, it wasn't lifted. Chutzri chatata of, shasalamatak masi chatata of, l'shem chatat. Except for, of course, chatata of that was done below, which is the way it's supposed to do, like a chatat, without full havdalah, and l'shem chatat. In that case, me'ila is lifted. Uktani lavan, then we have a Mishnah about that. The kol she'a psulo bakodesh, and matam gadim metabliya. If the psul was bakodesh, then it's not matam gadim. So we see from there that doing it in the wrong geographic location is called psulo bakodesh. But if, on the other hand, the psul was before you got in, then it's considered a nevela when you do malika, and therefore it's matam gadim. Uktani kol she'a psulo bakodesh, imalu lo yerdu. And we see that anything with a psulo is bakodesh, imalu, lo yerdu. And that's exactly Rav Yosef's position. Tiyufta de Rabba, tiyufta. So Rabba's been disproved. Vahada pligi bar Rabba Rav Yosef, pshita le Rav Elazar. Make the following suggestion. That Rabba Rav Yosef's disagreement about imalu, lo yerdu, or yerdu, is something that Rav Elazar was actually very clear about. Ta'am Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar quoted in the Mishnah, Olat b'amat yachid, actually braita, shechnisal lifnim. If you have an olah that you set aside for a b'amat yachid, and then you brought it into the proper mishkan, mizbeach, the azara, kaltu ha-mechitzot l'chol davar, becomes 100% included and in. And then, Bar Abelazar, Abelazar asked the question about that korban, olat b'amat yachid, shechnisal shenifzala, alu mal shirdu. What if it developed some sort of a psul, and then it was put on the mizbeach anyways, do you take it down? So our impression is, so the fact that he only asked about the second case means it's obvious to him about a regular korban, not one that was set for the outside, that got a psul bakodesh, that im alu, whether or not you do or not. Ikra by Ikra of Yosef. So we don't know what his position was, but we know that it was obvious to him. The answer is, it's not so obvious. He was asking both questions. He was saying, even if I would solve Rabba versus Rav Yosef, which I don't know, I still wouldn't be able to solve this, because on kamo kama Rabba hatam im alu yerdu, maybe Rabba's position that im alu yerdu is only in a case where mechitza ketikna. That's only in the case where you brought in a proper korban that was fit for the inside or set for the inside, and it's so good, then psalah. However, shaloka tikna lo psala, but if it was done improperly, then lo psala, because it wasn't good enough. And, Rav Yosef says it stays up there as mechitza ketikna kalta. Maybe only if it was set for the inside, was it absorbed on the inside, therefore it doesn't come down. But if not, then it's not absorbed. Teku, and then he was left hanging, meaning I don't know how to solve Rav versus Rav Yosef, and even if I would, I still would not know whether or not to apply their position to the case of Olat Bamat Yachid. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with Rav's ruling about Zrikat Pigul in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.